much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, along with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. A very happy Wednesday to you. Welcome, welcome to Live the Promise. And as you know, every Wednesday is Book Giveaway Wednesday, which means we give extra books away. So in addition to our guest book that we have today, giving out three copies of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, compliments of my publisher, Moody Publishers. So everybody who calls in and gets on the air will get a book today. Today's show is really all about finding a sweet spot of grace amidst a difficult life circumstance. And in the middle of the night when I woke up and I was supposed to be sleeping, I realized that there was a connection between all the shows. Most times I do this on purpose, but I didn't do it this time, Tim. I don't know if you've noticed, but every show this week is about living life intentionally. Mm-hmm. We had Jerry Scazzaro talking about I quit, but really she was like, I quit doing all the unanointed work. It was burning her out. She wanted to have life be about what life's about. Yeah. And then we had Erwin McManus about living out your dream and the passion. And I love that when he talked about, you know, you're passionate about God, then you can trust your passions. When you're passionately walking with the Lord, he'll impart passions to you. And then we've mm-hmm. got Carol today. Carol Kent has got an amazing story here again of making life count amidst difficult circumstances. Tomorrow's Craig Groeschel talking about his book Weird and the weird life that God calls us to live as believers. And it's countercultural oftentimes, but it is all about making life count. Yeah. And then we've got Matthew Barnett, The Cause Within You on Friday. So I couldn't have put a better lineup together if I meant to on purpose.
That's right. And you did it by accident.
Wow. I should do more stuff by accident. Way better by accident.
Well, I think maybe God had a plan for it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Let's give him the praise and glory for
that's
that.
That's right.
Well, as I said, today is about finding grace amidst difficult circumstances. And my friend is our guest, Carol Kent. We're in the ASA, which is Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. I want to tell you about her. She wrote a book, Between a Rock and a Grace Place, Divine Surprises and the Tight Spots of Life. Let me tell you about her officially, and then we'll get her on the show. Carol Kent is a popular international public speaker, best known for being dynamic, humorous, encouraging, and biblical. Honestly, and I know a lot of speakers. I don't know anybody else who travels and speaks as much as she does, and she does it with such grace. I really marvel at the gift of God in her. Back to her bio. She's a former radio show co-host, and her messages have been featured on Focus on the Family. She's been a keynote speaker at Women of Faith, Time Out for Women, and Heritage Keepers Arena events. She's also spoken at the Praise Gatherings for Believers and at Vision New England's Congress. She also is a featured speaker at many of the Extraordinary Women and Women of Joy events. She's the president of Speak Up Speaker Services, a Christian Speakers Bureau, and the founder and director of Speak Up with Confidence Seminars, a ministry committed to helping Christians develop their communication skills. She also has founded the nonprofit organization Speak Up for Hope, which benefits inmates and their families. Carol, welcome to the show. We're honored to have you with us today.
Susie, thank you so much. It's a joy to be on the air with you.
I can just see your shiny red hair and your big smile as I'm talking to you.
Well, that red hair is available to you,
it
too, Susie.
It is a trademark. I couldn't pull it off like you do, sister. Well, you know, we like to start out the show talking about Scripture, and you chose a couple of great passages. I'd love to read them and have you just speak into them. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lamentations 3:22, 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Talk to us about those two great verses.
Well, I'll tell you, you have to have faith when the life you once thought you would have seems to be disappearing due to a crisis or the actions of someone else that totally destroys the life you thought you would once be living. And I am so glad this life is not all there is. And if I didn't believe something more was coming, I think I would have packed it in a long time ago. And I am discovering, Susie, that God's love is steadfast. My emotions may change. I may have days when I sob my eyes out as a mama with a broken heart. But there are also days when I rejoice because I realize that there is absolutely nothing that can happen to us that cannot be used as a platform upon which we can sing and speak about God's great steadfast love.
Ah, well put. Well, for those who don't know your story, I imagine most do, but I don't want to assume everybody listening has heard your story. You open your book, Between a Rock and a Grace Place, which is a fabulous title, by the way, but with a story about a call that changed your life. Wondering if you wouldn't mind telling us what happened.
Well, I've traveled full-time in ministry for a number of years, and my husband Gene and I got back on a Sunday night after intensive ministry, and we were sound asleep when the phone rang in the middle of the night. And I remember looking up at the clock. It said 12:35 a.m., and then I saw Gene's face, and he had a look of shock and horror come over him, and he pulled the receiver away, and he said, "Carol, Jason, that's our son, has been arrested for the murder of his wife's first husband. He's in the jail in Orlando." Well, Susie, I had never been in shock before. I remember nausea sweeping over me. I tried to get out of bed. My legs would not hold my weight. My first thought was, I'm living in the middle of a horrific nightmare. I will soon wake up and everything will be okay. I finally crawled my way into my office and grabbed the phone, got a number for the Orlando jail, and when someone finally answered and I asked about my boy, a rude voice on the other end of the line said, "Lady, we ain't got nobody by that name Jason Kent in here. Lady, your son ain't here." And Susie, for just a moment, my hopes came back. But as hour followed hour, the facts of the case were confirmed. Our son had pulled a trigger in a public parking lot, and a man had died, and we started our journey that I define as being between a rock and a grace place. Our son had married a previously married woman who had two precious little girls, 3 years old and 6 years old. Their biological father had multiple allegations of abuse against him, and he was trying to get unsupervised visitation. It appeared at this time that the law was not going to keep the supervision intact. And in retrospect, that year after their marriage, we began to see our son unravel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And he wound up doing the unthinkable. And Susie, if Jason were to tell you what happened today, which he does in his letters in this book, he would say that instead of trusting in God to protect my daughters, I relied on my own military abilities and on my fears as a father to make choices that were not based on God's truth. And I wound up in a destructive pattern that totally, completely changed the rest of our lives in a most negative way. And then he said, I took the life of the son of the father, the stepmother, and the sister who were planning a funeral while my parents were planning a trial for first-degree murder. Devastating situation.
You know, I can't even imagine what that has been like for you. I can't even fathom it. But I so appreciate him saying it that way, because his is an extreme example, but it shows the danger for all of us when we default to leaning on our own understanding, defaulting to our own strength. Right away, I think of the scripture, anything done apart from faith is sin. And his is an extreme example, but we all need to look at our lives. And when we think, I'm not going to trust that God's going to come through for me, so I'm taking things into my own hands. And yet you see story after story in scripture of devastating consequences. Don't you feel that when you think about when we take things into our own hands?
Yes, and I mean, the Bible is so full of characters who wound up either in deceit or murder or anger or denial and betrayal. And I just am so touched by the fact that God takes people who have made these horrific choices, self-destructive choices, and also choices that just hurt the heart of God. And he says, in the middle of your brokenness, I can work with you if you will lean completely on my strength, and if you choose to walk the road of what a true repentant heart looks like. And I see that God is doing that in my son's life, and I rejoice in that.
And we're going to get into that further into the show, the way God is amazingly using him. I'd love to ask you about another call that you received regarding your son, I think shortly after he was incarcerated, that also devastated you. Actually, I wouldn't love to ask about it, but I need to ask about it, because I think that really tees up what you've been through with this journey. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, I sure do. Jason had been in jail for just a little over a week. Gene had already flown to Florida to try to move April, his wife, and his two stepdaughters closer to where he was incarcerated in Orlando. I was at home pulling the last of the finances together for what felt like paying the down payment for another house. It was a criminal defense of gigantic magnitude, and my phone rang. And It was a digitized message asking if I would accept the call from an inmate in a jail. And I am not proud to tell our listeners today that before Jason's arrest, I had never seen the inside of a jail or a prison. And it wasn't that I didn't care about inmates and their families. It's just that nothing like this had ever touched our lives before. And I remember accepting the charges, and it was my son, and he was sobbing. He said, "Mom, I've just been jumped by 10 inmates. They were kicking me in the head." He said, "I have a cut in the ear. My two front teeth have been broken off." He said, "They stole all my stuff except for my Bible." Mm-hmm. And then he choked a sob back, and he said, "But after the beating, the corrections officers took me to the faith-based area of the jail." And he said, those men were like Jesus to me. And those Christian inmates washed my wounds. They brought me soap. They brought me deodorant. And he said, "I was lying in pain on my bed. And one by one, they brought out of their limited canteen items, writing paper, a pen, a T-shirt, a pair of gym shorts." And he said, "I knew they had so little themselves, but they were giving to me." And he said, "Then these men prayed over me."
Oh, my goodness.
And then I heard the click of the call indicating my call was over and out. You only get 15 minutes. And, Susie, as I sat at my desk, I heard this guttural wail come out of the depths of my being. Mm-hmm. And I lifted my hands, palm side up. I said, "God, I cannot do this journey. Please, God, take this away. Oh, take me to heaven. Lord, I cannot watch my son suffer like this." And then the mama part of me kicked in. And I know the listeners out there understand the mama part of a woman's heart.
Yes.
Because I instantly knew our son needed his parents as his advocates more than he had ever needed us before in his life. And I got on that plane the next day, and I flew to Florida. Gene had already had his allowable 15-minute visit with our son as a parent, so he was not allowed to come with me. And I remember being in the waiting room and hearing this shuffle come down the hallway. And as my son rounded the bend, I knew there would be glass between us. I knew a guard would listen to everything we said. But he was in a blue jumpsuit. He had on ankle cuffs with a chain between his legs. That was why he had to shuffle. Then I saw the handcuffs attached to a waist chain. Susie, he was fresh from the beating. He had scabs all over his face. Both eyes were fully bloodshot. I could see the big gash in his ear, and then I saw those broken off front teeth. And for several moments, a mom and her boy just looked at each other through the glass, and we wept, knowing our lives would never be the same again. We could have no do-overs. Life would be forever changed. And finally, as we looked at each other, I looked at my son, and I said, "Jason Paul Kent, there is nothing you could ever do that would stop my unconditional love for you, son. Your dad and I are here for you." And that's all I remember of that visit. I remember going out to my car and just sobbing in the parking lot. And I couldn't drive. And, Susie, I'm glad I'm a preacher's kid who'd memorized lots of scripture, because when you're in a crisis, all you can do is sometimes reread the same scripture over and over again because your mind can't absorb it, or your eyes will be so blurred you can't see the words on the page. And God brought back to mind Genesis 22, where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Now, Isaac had done nothing wrong to merit the sacrifice. My son had taken the life of another human being. But somehow I empathized with the parent, Abraham, who had to relinquish what he loved most to the God who loved his son more than he did. Mm-hmm. And I just raised my hands again, palm side up. I said, "God, I relinquish to you all those happy family reunions. I relinquish to you all I thought we would have with my grandchildren gathered around our Christmas tree." And then I just said, "God, we are in such a mess." And I just said, "Help us, God, help us." And I'm here to testify that God does help us when we are between a rock and a grace place, when we feel like we are pounding into the chest of God saying why, we can't resist leaning into his embrace.
Wow, Carol, I've only cried on this show twice, maybe three times, but I'm beside myself. I just honor the gift of God in you. I honor your faithfulness and the kind of mama you are. And as a mother of boys, I mean, you've got me right in my heart. After this break, I want you to tell the story of the surprise that ended up on your doorstep. Beautiful, wonderful, divine moment of grace, just like your book says. So, and we're going to open up the phone for calls as well. We've got 5 copies of Carol's great book to give away. Why don't you give us a call if you've got a question or even a testimony of God's faithfulness to you amidst a tight spot in life. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484.
If you are like many, between the earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan and the trouble brewing in the Middle East, you're wondering, what in the world is God doing? Well, while no one can answer that question with certainty, we do know that many are turning to God, the Bible, and ministries like ours for answers to tough questions. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Faith Radio's mission is to connect faith to life every day. With God's help and yours, Faith Radio provides relevant Bible teaching and family-focused teaching. It's truly our desire to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ, while at the same time helping you go deeper in your faith. How does all of this happen? Through your prayers and generous support. If you're not already a member of the monthly support team of Faith Radio, please consider joining. Your financial faithfulness will help others to find faith in Christ. Our website is faithradionet.com or call 1-877-93-FAITH.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our very special guest, Carol Kent, who's got an amazing story. We're talking about the story of her son, who's now in prison. And boy, what a story. Her book is titled Between a Rock and a Grace Place, Divine Surprises in the Tight Spots of Life. She not only weaves in her story, but other stories of people who they've ministered to, who have testimonies of how God has shown up in these difficult places. So we've got 5 copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question for our guest today or a testimony of your own of how God has shown up in a desperate place, how he's made his strength perfect for you when your strength is gone. 877-933-2484. So, Carol, you received an unusual gift that actually made you a little suspicious to begin with on your doorstep. Tell us that story.
Well, it was about 2 weeks before Christmas, and we had already moved to Florida so that we could be closer to Jason. We had lived in Michigan for a number of years, and we now live about 40 miles north of the prison where he is incarcerated. And holidays are a really tough time for the relatives of those who are incarcerated. It's a reminder of everyone else having happy family reunions and the fact that your holiday will be spent behind the razor wire, in my case, at a maximum security prison. And it was 9:15 at night, and my doorbell rang. Well, Gene came from another part of the house, and we arrived at the front door at the same time, and I noticed that no one was at the door. There wasn't even a car in the driveway. And I thought, well, it's too late for a delivery. But I peeked around outside, and there on my porch was this beautifully wrapped Christmas gift. It just looked exquisite. And there was a card on top of the gift that said, Mom. And my first thought was, this is a horrible joke. My son is in a maximum security prison. He has no money to be able to afford a lovely gift, let alone the ability to purchase it and mail it. What is this? But I'm curious, Susie. I am a woman. I am a mom. And yeah. It was my porch.
And it was beautiful.
It was lovely. So I took it inside, and I opened up the note, and it was from my son. And in summary, it said, Dear Mom, over the past few years, you and Dad have ministered to my needs in sacrificial ways, and I've never been able to give back to you. And he said, this year, due to the help of a very kind and gracious friend, I'm able to get you something special for Christmas. And I hope every time you wear it, you will know how much you mean to me and how much I love you. Mm. Love, JP. And that stands for Jason Paul. And he has these initials where the dots after J and P are like eyes. And then he makes a little smiley face. And then he puts 2 teeth in the smiley face because with God's unbelievable favor, we were able to get his two front teeth fixed while he was still in the jail. So that little smile was like a thank you for giving me my teeth back.
Mm.
Well, I opened up the box, and inside was this gorgeous russet-colored silk jacket, perfect for my red hair, perfectly tailored for my size, and it was just as if it was custom designed for me, and it was much lovelier than I ever could have afforded for myself that Christmas, and I just felt like God was wrapping me up with this incredible divine surprise, as if he was saying, Carol, I know how much it hurts to be away from your boy, and I know it especially hurts at Christmas time, and I just want you to know I have not forgotten you. So I really believe God loves to interject divine surprises into our lives when we are between that rock and a very difficult place in our lives.
I agree with you, and it's amazing to me how much God has used you, how often and how far-reaching your influence is, and how many testimonies you hear back from others about how your story is ministered. In fact, you've got a number of those kinds of stories in the book. Is there one that sticks out to you that really ministered to you?
Oh, absolutely. One of the chapters is on being surprised by mercy. And we, in 2008, were packing up the Christmas ornaments. The relatives had left, and it was the first Friday of the new year. And my husband picked up the phone when it rang, and it was a corrections officer. And he said, honey, you better get on fast. This is important. And the corrections officer said, Mr. and Mrs. Kent, your son's appendix burst last night. And he was rushed to a hospital, but his case was too severe for that hospital, so he was rushed to another hospital. He's had surgery, and he'll be fine. He'll probably be back at the prison tomorrow. I said, well, where is he? And he said, well, we can't tell you. That would be a security risk. And I said, you mean he had septic toxins going through his entire system, and he'll be back on the prison compound tomorrow? He said, well, they don't keep them long these days, you know.
Mm.
Susie, I was so filled with fear, and I began to pray. I said, Lord, would you protect him? Would you heal him? Would you bring someone along who would be like a mama to him since I can't be there? And for the next 5 days in a row, we called to find out how he was, and they just said, well, he's still at the hospital. He'll probably be back tomorrow. Finally, on that fifth day, we were told he had been brought back to the prison, and a few days later, we were able to visit with him for a couple of hours. And he said, Mom and Dad, I was in such misery. There were two armed guards at my door. I had on ankle cuffs with a chain between my legs, and I was so sick I could hardly move, but those are just the rules when you're a maximum security inmate. And he said, one nurse stood out from the rest. Her name was Nurse Betty. And my legs began to swell up, and she came in and said to the guards, you're going to have to remove those ankle cuffs because I have to massage circulation into this young man's legs. And they said, well, that would be totally against the rules. She said, this is a medical emergency. You will remove those ankle cuffs.
Oh, I love you, Betty.
Yes, yes, she did. And then he said his back hurt so badly. They had placed him in a chair, and he could hardly move. And Nurse Betty came in, put her whole body and arms all the way around him and lifted him up to a standing position. And he said, Mom, she just wouldn't let go. Mm. And she said, son, now you just steady yourself until you get your bearings. And he said, Mom, it was just like you were hugging me. I couldn't believe it. God sent me a mama. And Susie, God answered my prayer in the form of Nurse Betty. Wow. Now here's the kicker. We have tried to find out who Nurse Betty is so that we can thank her, and nobody at that hospital has ever heard of her.
Oh, and my goodness.
I just kind of wonder. You know, you hear about angels in disguise. Boy, I sure wonder about that one, because what a blessing this precious nurse was to us, that God would send her and surprise us with this incredible gift of mercy for our son.
You know, nothing is better than a snarky angel.
I love it.
You don't be messing with Nurse Betty,
I love
okay?
That, a snarky angel. That could be the title of a chapter in another book.
I think
Susie.
I can see it now. You better get writing right after the show. I love it. I thank God for that. And I, you know, on the other side of this break, I want to ask you about your faith process, because surely that enemy taunted you to say, God could have stopped this. Where was he? And you address some of that, I know, in the book. But I love, Carol, where you landed. And I, again, I just honor the faith of God in you and how you've wrestled this thing to the ground and continue to. So we really love that about you. So be thinking about that, just to share with us your process. And we also want to open up the phone lines. We've got someone waiting. Amy, hang in there. We're going to get to you. Want to hear from you. How has God revealed himself in a tight spot, in a difficult place? Because he always is. Daily the heavens are speaking, and he does interject divine surprises, as Carol says. So give us a call, 877-933-2484. Again, the number is 877-933-2484. On the other side, we're going to talk to Carol about the faith process and how she got her legs under her again after such an amazing ordeal. Bless you. Your grace is enough for us, and we thank you so much for loving us and being an ever-present help in time of trouble. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our very special guest, Carol Kent, talking about her story and her book, Between a Rock and a Grace Place. I almost said a hard place, but this is Between a Rock and a Grace Place, Divine Surprises in the Tight Spots of Life. Love to hear from you. How has God shown himself in your difficult place? 877-933-2484. He shows up in those difficult places and seasons and reveals himself. We need to have our eyes and our ears open. Amy's been waiting patiently for Minneapolis and has a short testimony. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hello. I would like to share. In 2004, in November, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I had a friend who was really addicted to drugs at the time. And so I went to God. And I had known another person who was really addicted to drugs that I had been a roommate with. And I went to God and said, God, is this person just a hopeless case, like the person I used to live with? And that night, I felt called to just leave the house and go out. And so I went outside, and I lived across the street from a church, and there was a light on in the church. So God told me, called me into the church, and I went in, and there was a man there, and I said, is it okay if I join? I don't really know what's going on here. He's like, well, it's a teen challenge meeting. He's like, the women are sitting upstairs. You're welcome to go up there and listen. So I went up there, and I was sitting there listening to the sermon, and I felt someone looking at me. And so I looked over, and it was the person who I had just spoken to God about and called a hopeless case. And there she was in the teen challenge meeting. And we jumped up and hugged each other, and we were both in tears.
I love it, Amy. That is excellent story. And stay on the line. You'll get a copy of Carol's book. And I'm sure, Carol, you hear plenty of stories like that where because I think you're a magnet for those stories. People find you. Isn't that the case?
It really is. And, Amy, your story impacted me powerfully because I think sometimes while we're praying, we sometimes forget God is already at work in our situation. And here he was answering your prayer, the prayer of your heart. And simultaneously, God was drawing your friend to himself. So I thank you so much for reminding us that it really pays off to lay our need before the Lord and then have the faith that he's going to answer and then be surprised in the process. Super. I think God loves to splash our lives with his wonderful, joyful surprises.
You know, one of the divine surprises that happened in my life when my kids were young and I was battling a disease, and my little baby was 4 weeks old, and we'd been in the wilderness for about 3.5 years, not much sleep, sick children and all that. And he'd gotten so sick, we got our small group around him to pray, lay hands on him and sing and worship, and he got sicker and ended up in the hospital. So it felt like God had moved in, and we just had sensed his presence, and so I was sure I was going to wake up in the morning to a miracle. Well, he was worse, and they admitted him, and he was in the hospital with double pneumonia for a week. A year later, found out I had Lyme disease, but I didn't know it at the time when my baby was 4 weeks old. I was bit during the pregnancy with him. And so the medicine that he was received at 4 weeks old when God said no to our immediate request to heal him was the medicine that saved his life. So he basically said no to his, to healing him at the moment so that he could he could live. And that just amazes me, the divine sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. So let's hear from you, Carol, about how the process worked itself out for you, where the enemy taunted you, I'm sure, and how you worked that through.
Well, in the early days after Jason's arrest, I really struggled with the lies of the enemy. And some of those lies would come at me, and it was as if I was hearing, if you had been a better parent, this would not have happened. And then the enemy really attacked my birth order, which is firstborn of six preacher's kids, which means I'm a little bit on the bossy, perfectionistic side.
No, and, you know, I'm kidding. Totally kidding.
I was used to being the kind of person who could handle almost any problem, and if I didn't have the answer, I'd find the book or the person who could help me fix things. And I was in a situation I couldn't fix. And I heard the enemy just taunt me with that little thing of, if you had been less busy, you would have figured out what was wrong, and you would have handled this before it got to this point. And then the enemy attacked my spiritual life. And he said, if you had read your Bible more fervently, if you had prayed more in depth, if you had fasted more, this would not have happened. Lies, lies, lies. And I think the enemy loves to hit on us when we are exhausted emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and when we feel like so much is going wrong and we just can't pick our heads up. And, of course, his real desire was to knock the parents out along with our child.
Absolutely.
And part of this story is that people say to me, well, Carol, how long did you quit speaking after Jason was arrested? Because I was a public speaker for many years and a writer as well. My husband had left his job in insurance to travel full time with me a year before Jason's arrest. And I wish I could tell you, out of obedience to the Lord, I kept speaking. It was really because we needed the money to pay the attorney. And my heart was breaking so much, I just wanted to curl up and quit. But we needed the check in order to cover Jason's legal fees. So I went to an engagement in Ohio 5 days after our son's arrest. Mm. And I sat with the worship leader, and we had some alone time before the event started. And she leaned over and she said, Carol, my husband and I are losing our house this week. We're not making it in full-time music ministry, and I'm so discouraged. I almost canceled. I feel like my kids are looking at us and wondering if God really does provide. And I was so fresh from the news of my son's arrest, I couldn't even put it into words. I just put my hand over hers, and I said, we are in the middle of a gigantic family crisis that is so big, I don't know if we're going to survive. We are going to be two broken people ministering out of our brokenness. She got up and led worship, and I sobbed through every song. Then they announced that I would speak. I didn't know if I could do it. I stood up, and with tears running down my cheeks, I took the Word of God in my hand and began to speak the same truth I had spoken before the tragedy. And I felt an empowerment I can only explain in the supernatural dimension. It was like I was stomping on the head of the enemy saying, you loser, you meant to wipe Gene and me out with our son. And the Word of God is truth with a capital T. God wins, you lose. You are just a liar from the pit of hell. And, you know, from that point on, ministering made us stronger, and we found out that we were identifying with the pain of other people more than we ever had before. You know, I used to resent people who had kidneys right next to their eyeballs like they were big babies, and now I'm one of those people too. I'm one of the broken mamas, and I never apologize for crying anymore.
I love it. Is that where my kidneys are? I can't figure out where all these pools come from. Well, you know what I was thinking about? You know, here you're a sincere follower of Christ. And so, of course, the enemy tries to hit you in your sincerity. He doesn't care about fasting. He doesn't care about reading the Word. He doesn't care about your fervent love for your son. But that's what he attacks you in. You know what I'm saying? He's such a liar, and that he'll go towards our areas of sincerity, knowing that will hit us where it hurts. And boy, that is where we got to put that shield of faith up. And I love that you just, you know, battled him back with the Word of God. And wow, praise God.
It's the only way.
It is.
It is the only way.
Well, Patty from North Dakota wants to thank you, Carol. So I want to welcome her to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Patty.
Well, thank you for having me. Carol, I just want to say I've heard you speak many times on the radio and on TV, and you just touched me with how you can just, you know, hang in there and believe God and know that God is there to help you. And, I mean, I just think you're a wonderful woman, and just keep up the good work. And every time I hear you, really, it just touches my heart, to, because I have a son, too, and if that would ever happen to him, you know, I guess the only way we could make it through is with the Lord.
Mm.
Patty, what a precious, precious word of encouragement that is. And I want to tell you that one of the ways that God bolstered our faith was through the tangible acts of kindness of others. And I hope everybody listening to your voice today and to Susie and me realizes that if we can look around and find one person who needs help worse than we do and do a tangible act of kindness in Jesus' name, that it will help us to feel encouraged in our hearts. Mm. And it might be taking a sack of groceries to a single parent mom who's struggling financially. Or I tell people, find somebody in your church who has an incarcerated loved one and put a $20 bill in the palm of their hand and say, your food out of the vending machines at your next visit is on our family. We love you and we pray for your family. Or maybe it's just texting a prayer to somebody or calling someone and saying, God put you on my heart today and I want to pray for you right over the phone. And so you're just one of those people, Patty, who keeps me encouraged. Because I know as we share our testimony, as we share our faith, I'm praying that God will use it to trigger in the hearts of other people his lavish love that will then be demonstrated on others. So you bless me today, sister.
Well, I'm so glad, Patty. Thank you for your call. In fact, it took initiative for her to call, and faith without deeds is dead. And I think those cups of cold water go such a long way and are so noted by Christ. In fact, speaking of random acts of kindness, you noticed your husband's black T-shirts missing. I want you to tell that story. I thought that was amazing.
I love this story.
Yeah.
We often have to stand in line for up to 2 hours in blazing heat or torrential rain here in Florida before we get through the maximum security process to get inside the prison. And sometimes the rules change about what you can wear when you're visiting, and sometimes it's the interpretation of the rules by corrections officers. And a new rule had come down saying that women could not wear sleeveless blouses. And I always feel terrible when someone who lives maybe hours away, who's traveled half the night and then waited 2 hours to get up to the front of the line, gets turned away because they're dressed inappropriately or certainly by the impression of whoever is in charge of the rules that day. And I noticed this woman in a sleeveless blouse was sobbing as she left the front door of the entrance. And then I noticed that my husband had disappeared. And he came back from our car carrying a black T-shirt. And I saw him hand it to this woman, and he said, here, ma'am, put this on and go back to the front of the line. And he came back to where I was in the line because I had already noticed these missing black T-shirts. And I said, so that's where they're going.
Mm.
And he kind of sheepishly smiled. And he said, well, it's my T-shirt ministry. And a month later, I was in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, speaking at a women's conference. And a couple of weeks later, on my porch was this package. And it was just filled with black T-shirts. And the note inside was from a woman who said, Carol, I recently heard you at a Wisconsin conference, and I work for the JanSport Corporation, and I can get T-shirts at a greatly reduced amount. And so in this box, you will find a donation of black T-shirts for your husband's trunk distribution program.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's amazing. And that's another divine surprise along the way.
It is.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, in a moment, I want to talk with you about not only the passage of scripture your sister Jenny shared with you. I thought it was pretty profound. But also how JP's doing and how he's thriving in prison. So we're going to talk more with Carol Kent in just a moment. We want to hear from you. We still got a few moments to take your calls. 877-933-2484. Maybe you have a word of encouragement. Maybe Carol has blessed you before and you want to let her know. Love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484. Back in a moment.
Man, it's like doing a puzzle trying to piece together your family genealogy. Our search in our family tree has taken us to some ancient graveyards where we've actually found some missing answers. course, people have been finding answers in the graveyard for 2,000 years. Answers to the big questions. Why am I here? How can I have a life that matters? What happens when I die? And the grave where answers begin is empty. It's Jesus' grave, and he blew the doors off his grave that first Easter morning. The answers to our ultimate questions aren't in a religion. They're in a man, the man who died to remove the death penalty for our sin, to restore us to the God who gives life its meaning, and who promised eternal life to all those who belong to him. See, only the man who conquered death can deliver eternal life. He walked out of his grave so he can walk into your life. If you want that, would you call us at 888-NEED-HIM? That's 888-NEED-HIM. The search of a lifetime is almost over.
We're having a great conversation today with author, speaker Carol Kent about her book, Between a Rock and a Grace Place, Divine Surprises in the Tight Spots of Life. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Live the Promise. Got a few moments left together. Love to hear from you if you want to give us a call, 877-933-2484. Okay, Carol, this verse is from Romans 9:33, but the Message paraphrase really puts a new, just a new angle on it, doesn't it? Do you have it in front of you? You want me to read it?
Oh, it really does, and I do have it here. And it just was so amazing. One day I was really pondering what God would have me write about next. And my sister Jenny sent me an email, and she said, Carol, I've been reading in my Message Bible, and I came to Romans 9:33, and she said, I know this verse is for you. Careful, I've put a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion, a stone you can't get around, but the stone is me. If you're looking for me, you will find me on the way, not in the way. Mm-hmm. And Susie, that was about 10 days before the 2008 Christian Booksellers Convention. And God so knocked me over the head with that verse. I just realized that when people come up against obstacles, they so many times forget that they need to lean into the rock with a capital R. And that rock is Jesus. And when we learn how to press into the grace place, we find safety, peace, unconditional love, and even splashes of joy in the tight spots of life. So that became the premise for this book.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a call from Carla in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, but then I want you to talk to us about JP, how he's doing, how he's thriving, what God is doing in his life. Carla, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, do you have a story for us?
Yeah, I do. Just recently, my son-in-law lost his father-in-law, and the following morning at breakfast, our daughter and their three children were around the breakfast table, and the father asked, my son-in-law asked his four-year-old daughter to pray, and so she prayed, and when she finished, the two-year-old said, but you didn't pray for Babu. Babu was their grandfather. And Victoria looked at her and she said, but Clara, Babu is in his mansion. We don't have to pray for him anymore. And her father broke down crying. And she said to her daddy, Babu is in heaven with Jesus and he's in his mansion. We don't have to pray for him. And Victor, our son-in-law, was just so encouraged by his little four-year-old daughter.
Out of the mouth of babes. Carla, thanks so much for your call. That's pretty sweet, huh, Carol?
What a comfort. I absolutely love that story, Carla, because sometimes it's children who remind us to hold on to hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then sometimes there are those moments that are so hard. I remember tucking my little granddaughter in before Jason's trial, and she threw her arms back at prayer time. I was right at her bedside, and she said, Grammy, I pray and I pray that Daddy will come home from jail soon, and he never comes. And I think sometimes in the middle of desperate times, it is so difficult when you have children who are praying and expecting an instant answer. And then sometimes it's those very kids who remind us of the deepest biblical truth. And, boy, this story from Carla really nails it on the head.
Well, where are things at with his wife and two girls?
Well, for 6 years, April faithfully bathed and dressed two little girls and took them to the jail and then the prison. every single week, sometimes twice weekly, and that can be a very discouraging process with all of the waiting involved. And then came the hurricanes of 04, when three of those four hurricanes went right through Lake Wales, Florida, where Jason's wife lived, causing massive damage, and I saw something in her spirit die. And she came to us and she said, I need to give the girls a more normal life. It's not normal for little girls to spend Saturdays and Sundays, which are the only two visitation days in Florida, on a maximum security compound. They need soccer on Saturdays. They need church on Sundays. She said, I've decided to leave the state, and if I separate from Jason, then I'm not going to be in touch with you either. And with broken hearts, we watched our daughter-in-law pack up with the girls and leave our lives and leave the state. And a year and a half went by, and Jason said, I'm going to write to my wife and daughters one letter to each of them every week as long as she stays married to me. And after that year and a half went by, she began writing to Jason. And they write to each other occasionally now. Jason writes very regularly, but they are still married. So we don't know the end of this story.
Hmm.
But to fast forward a little bit beyond that, a year ago in July, Jason's application for the clemency process for a hearing rose to the top of the pile. And we received the most unexpected news that the Florida Parole Commission had recommended that his case be heard before the Executive Clemency Board, which is the governor and the chief officers in the state of Florida. This happens so seldom and almost never in a case like Jason's, and so we were thrilled. And we were told we needed a waiver, that Gene and I would have to appear before the clemency aides, and these are the attorneys who work for the chief officers in the land. So we drove to Tallahassee. We were given a sheet of paper telling us we would have 5 minutes to present Jason's case. We were number three on the list. The two people before us got 15 minutes, and we thought maybe we'll get 15. And then we began to share Jason's case, and the clock kept ticking, and the aides kept asking more questions about what Jason was doing as a teacher and a mentor to other inmates. He's taken 8 groups through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University course, teaching them how to balance a budget and do a checkbook, and he teaches men in a biblical counseling class, and it's just been amazing to see his group of 12 prayer warriors who fast and pray for each other's needs. And these clemency aides kept asking questions, and an hour went by. We felt the favor of God in that room. I can't even explain it. It was so powerful. And they sent us home to gather letters from inmates and their families explaining the powerful impact Jason had had on their lives. For the next 2 months and every moment we could, waking moment at home, we collected these letters and we put 8 notebooks together that were 2 inches thick, filled with copies of these letters, and we mailed them off to the clemency aides. 3 days later, we received a call from our attorney saying the governor to the attorney, or the attorney to the governor, had just put a rubber stamp denied on the top of the application with not even a word of explanation. And I wish I could tell you what a good Christian I was about this, Susie. I sobbed like a baby. It was devastating. I just said to Gene, I cannot go in and talk to Jason in the morning. It was a visitation day the next day. And to face those prayer warrior buddies of his after they have fasted on his behalf all this time, I said, I'm just heartbroken. It seemed that everything was going so well, but I said, it was rejected so fast. We know people in 4 offices couldn't have even read through those letters, let alone had a meeting. It was just a rubber stamp rejection. Well, Gene went in and gave Jason the news. I came in at noon. I got through the big double security door, and my son was on the other side, and he had the peace of Jesus on his face. I was sobbing, and my son held me, and I just cried into his shoulder. And he said, Mom, he said, if we had gotten the needed waiver for me to have the executive clemency meeting, he said, we would have thought it was because we had the best attorney. We might have thought it was because we had the favor of politicians. But he said, the way this has come down, the only way I will ever get a clemency hearing and a positive result with an eventual end of sentence date, which might be 40 years, but because he was 25 at the time of his crime. That might mean he would walk in freedom in this lifetime if granted mercy. He said the only way that will happen is when God says, I've served enough time, and when he knows I can serve him better on the outside than I can on the inside. And then still, with total peace on his face, Susie, he snapped his fingers and he said, and if that never happens in this lifetime, he said, Mom, he said, we'll all be home soon. He said, life is so short and we'll all walk in freedom. We're almost there. It's coming soon. And, you know, my son just bolstered my faith that day in a way that I cannot even express in words. But I was reminded of the fact that God has given Jason very purposeful living in the middle of unlikely circumstances. And his letters throughout the book are amazing as he talks about how God has given him contentment and freedom on the inside.
And one of the favorite statements out of that book was where he said, Mom, I hate prison, but I refuse to waste prison. That almost made me cry when I read it, because just even the theme this week of, you know, when we think of making the most, sometimes it just looks like live out all your self-ambitious dreams, and it's not about that. It's about, like you said, you know, blooming where you're planted, finding God's faithfulness right where we live. And you sure modeled that, Carol, amazingly for us. And there was another call that came in who, Robert from Cottage Grove, he actually was in prison and you connected with his wife. I know he wanted to thank you. So your impact reaches far and wide, Carol. Well, as we wrap up, I know someone's listening who's in between a rock and a hard place and needs to find the grace place. And I'm wondering, Carol, if you'd pray for that person.
I would love to. Oh, Father, our hearts are so full. There are so many things that happen in this world that give us pause, and they make us sometimes wonder, is God really on my side? Is he for me? And Lord, when our child has a disability, when there's an accident that totally changes the rest of our lives, when a spouse betrays us and leaves us for somebody else, when our child is drugged out or incarcerated, or Lord, when there's a terrible automobile accident, sometimes we ask so many why questions. But Lord, help us to remember that you are God and we are not. Help us to choose to say yes to whatever you are teaching us in the middle of our circumstances. And Lord, I pray that all of the precious people who called in today, Amy, Patty, Carla, and Robert, would continue to lean into the grace place. Help us to use what has happened in our lives as a platform upon which we can declare to the world, God, you are good and you are trustworthy. Help us to hear your voice say, I won't ever leave you. I won't ever walk away from you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I called you. Father, I thank you that there is nothing that can happen to us without your permission. And Lord, I pray for Jason today. Lord, I pray that you would give him strength and confidence that can only come from you. Lord, multiply the impact of his ministry as the DVD series on this book is released. And as people who take the study hear his voice from behind the razor wire, as he reminds them that they can hold on to hope and faith in the middle of difficult circumstances.
Amen. We need to jump up, sweetie. We're going out here, but Carol, thank you. Thank you for your time together. Your time today was just amazing, amazing show. God bless you.
Thank you, Susie. God bless you.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I want you to find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want you to share it with a friend. I know a friend will be encouraged. Tomorrow we have Craig Groeschel talking about his great book, Weird, about living counterculturally. Try to say that three times. Have a great afternoon.